Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina. Welcome back. This is going to be part two of our time with Shannon Irwin. Shannon, why don't you reintroduce yourself and tell listeners who you are?
Okay, my name is, well, you already said my name. Yeah. My name is still Shannon Irwin. Yeah. I am a wife, a mother. I have three children of my own. And back in 2008, I went back to school full time to become a teacher. And so I have been teaching now in Norman Public Schools for 11 years. I just finished my 11th year teaching in the fourth grade. I spend all my time with 9 and 10 year olds, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Well, we said in part one, if you've already listened to part one, and if not, go back and listen to part one. It's excellent that we kind of walk through Shannon's journey of those who have been mentors in her life. We talked about we've known each other for a really, really long time, but we specifically wanted to have you today talking about mentoring in the workplace. So we've not really spent that much time talking about that particular topic, but you are a teacher, you're a mentor teacher, and tell us what that looks like. What is your role? What do you do? What do you bring to those that you're mentoring on the workplace?
I would like to interject this. Think about the number of hours that you spend on the job, much more than at home probably than with your family. So think about how you're able to look at other people on the job and say, who could I mentor here? Would they be open to it? How could I influence these people in some really great ways? Because I spend so much time here with people.
Let me start by saying I didn't start teaching until I was 37. And so that makes me already an older person in my job. Of course, we have older teachers than me, but we also have, a lot of teachers who come in fresh out of college. And so 22, 23 years old. So these are literally old enough to be my children.
Yeah.
Over time, I have stepped into this role, and the name of it is like I'm a new teacher liaison, which makes me sound way fancier than I actually am.
Is that French? Liaison?
Yeah. Yes, there's no special badge or secret handshake or anything.
But, yeah.
So basically what my job and my in that role is to acclimate new teachers to the way that we do things at our site and help them learn all of the million things. It's literally, we kind of joke that it's like drinking from a fire hydrant, especially first-year teachers. There is so much to learn, and you think, okay, I've just stepped out of college. Give me my classroom.
Right.
Oh, wait. The classroom doesn't have anything on the walls. Oh, wait.
There are lesson plans.
Yeah. I have to design that. And oh, there's curriculum. How do I use that? And so literally, my job is to help them develop and grow over the course of the school year by being available to answer questions, being a shoulder to cry on, because we all have those days, and being just a point of contact for them to come when they have questions and need additional support.
Is this a public school? Every public school has your position?
I would say probably not.
Okay.
I would say it's something that the district I work for really values is we want to keep the education climate here in Oklahoma is really challenging. And so getting people to stay in teaching can be challenging. And so the way that our district is trying to combat that is by having good supports in place for new teachers so that we can invest in them and keep them so that they can continue to grow in their profession and help educate children.
Here's a question for you. So a new teacher begins and you're the mentor teacher.
Right.
What are some things when you first talk with that person, that new teacher, what are some things that you know I need to talk to them about? These things, they're probably thinking this or feeling this way. What goes through your mind?
So it's kind of like a umbrella type system. My role as new teacher liaison, I actually mentor the mentor teachers. And then they are assigned to specific one-on-one teachers. Now, I've also done that role before where I specifically mentored a teacher. Ask your question again.
Just, I'm wondering, as an outsider, Okay, here's an assumption that I make. Mm-hmm. You go to college, you're certified as a teacher, go for it. You're good to go. That's not true, though, which I do realize that because when I graduated college, I was trying to figure out what did I really learn? Because I'd never utilized it before. And over time, you realize I learned this, but I didn't know this.
Right.
And you continue to learn. So what do they need from you, Shannon?
To be told to breathe, first of all, because every district that I'm aware of has all of these things they want to front load. That's a term that we use to give all this information up front. So, hey, we've introduced all of these topics to you. And so you have a half day that you learn about this curriculum, you half day you learn about this content area and all of these different things. But we know as educators, nobody can absorb all of that information. And so the district is doing the best job they can to provide all of that information. So my job is to be like, hey, everything I'm telling you today, I'll tell you again.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry if that doesn't make sense to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like teaching a teacher how to do grades on the first day. There's absolutely no value in that.
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to understand how, not going to remember how to get in the grade book, how to do all those things. And so literally just reminding them how important it is that they ask for help. Typically, a lot of teachers are pretty type A because we're detail organized people and we want things done a certain way. And so, and I said in the previous podcast, I'm kind of a perfectionist. So I've had to really let some of that go as an educator because I recognize, first of all, there are 20 plus children in my room that need me to not have that mentality because I don't want them to think they have to be perfect either.
Sure.
I went to this one training one time and it just was like a gem of a statement I loved. And so I used it in my classroom. She said, the person said they made a mistake and they said, that's the first mistake I've made all year. And then I was like, oh, that's funny. And then she said it again, like 3 or 4 more times during her presentation. And like for an entire school year, I did that. I was like, that's the first mistake I've made all year. And they're like, Mrs. Irwin,
yeah,
made 47 mistakes last week. And I'm like, I know, but just normalizing that it's okay to be not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that is one of my biggest jobs as in my role is to go in and go, hey, so you screwed up today? Me too. Like, or my first year, I had no idea what I was doing.
Mm.
And so just being real and honest about that, because everyone's job is hard. I'm not going to minimize that, but teaching public school is really, really difficult. You have, depending on how many students you have that year, personalities, academic challenges, you know, their home lives, all of that comes into your room.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no preparing for that in a lot of ways, because it also depends on that group of kids that come into your classroom on the first day of school. And so your job is to make a warm, welcoming place they can feel loved and supported and learn.
It may be in other cultures, but the American culture, we tend to have this. You're supposed to know what you're doing. You're supposed to have it all together, all figured out. But life doesn't work that way, right? Especially when you start a new job, a new career. Did you say a minute ago, the first year you didn't have a clue what you were doing?
Absolutely.
But you probably did not say that in an interview for the job, did you?
Hello, I'd like to teach. I don't have a clue what I'm doing.
Right.
No, I did not say that.
Interesting. Right. Most people probably have that reality, but
right.
No one, we don't put that on a resume.
No.
We don't say it in an interview. Did you ever feel like an imposter?
Oh, of course. My mentor teacher for my first 2 years that I worked with had been teaching for 30 something years.
Wow.
And I learned so much from her and gained lots of tidbits just from watching her. And so I feel like that is something that we've really tried to get to do is let teachers go in and observe other teachers' teaching because there's always a nugget. It might be a simple, simple thing. So I use whiteboards and markers in my classroom all the time. We use them for all different things. And a teacher observed me this year and she was like, oh my gosh, you asked them all to get out their whiteboards and they just got them out so quickly. And I was like, yeah, because it's a procedure I have set up and established. And so she was like, I'm going to start doing that. And I do that myself when I go to another classroom. I'm like, ooh, I haven't done it that way. but I'm going to try it. And so I think that's what's really fun about teaching. And what I didn't learn until a couple of years in is that I could still be myself. I don't need to be my mentor teacher. My students need me to be me and to teach how I can feel like myself. A ridiculous pun person. I literally have puns all over my classroom. I say bad jokes on a daily basis.
But kids know that about me now.
Yeah. And instead of it being like, well, I need to be so structured and like, mm-hmm. yes, I do that as well. I have high expectations for my students. But I also am goofy and am silly and want them to enjoy coming to my classroom. So I think all of that's important.
I can see where new teachers coming in would really appreciate that fact that we want you to be yourself. Take the education you've been given, be humble enough to be willing to continue to learn because that's what's required.
Yeah, absolutely. Any educator, in my opinion, any person who thinks they're done learning, that's just such a sad thing to me. Mm. Like just in general, not even just in education, but especially teachers. Oh, well, I've already learned all this. No, you haven't. It sounds ridiculous, but curriculum switches over every so often. Standards change, things like that. And so I have taught the same math curriculum since I've started teaching. So all 11 years, next year we're changing math curriculums and I am having a moment because it's the only constant I've had since I started teaching. Mm-hmm. And my favorite subject to teach is math. And so, like, there's those things that I'm like, oh, I don't even know how to do this one yet. Yeah. I mean, I know my standards. I'll be fine. But it's just that you always have to be ready to learn because as a teacher, you will never be done learning. Everything is always changing.
Aren't we asking students to do the same thing?
Oh, absolutely.
You're going to learn something all new all the time. So absolutely. As adults, we do the same thing. We should.
So many things that you're saying, it's in the context of professional counseling. Mm-hmm. I mean, professional mentoring.
Yeah.
But it's what mentors across the board are all. I think we make this point in our workshop that mentors should always be learners, always positioning yourself as a learner. I love that you referenced, again, just to be yourself. Mm-hmm. I think there's a big misconception when people talk about or are being challenged to be a mentor. Well, I need to be a certain way or I need to be you and mentor through who you are. There's so many good nuggets here that I'm like, oh my gosh, the correlation between what you're doing on the job is exactly about what we're just doing if we're outside of a job and we're just taking somebody under our wings. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, it's also like exhausting to try and be someone else and do it. I remember, again, that teacher who'd been teaching for 30 years, I would try and do things her way. And again, she was obviously a master teacher. Excellent. I learned so much from her, but I wasn't her.
Yeah.
And so when I would notice myself trying to do things exactly like she did, it didn't always fit. Sometimes it was fine, and other times it wouldn't. And I would be like, why am I doing it this way? Mm. Like that round hole, square peg kind of thing.
Yeah.
I just kept trying to be her because she was my mentor. And so I thought, well, I'm just supposed to replicate that. And finally, there was a role that we used to have called instructional coaches. And we still have them, but we used to have like one at each site. My instructional coach became one of my dearest friends because she would come into my room and she would be like, ooh, I really like the way that you do this. Or, I just love your cheesiness or whatever. And so she would basically say to me, when you're you and you're teaching, you can really see it. And you can really see you're enjoying what you're doing. And so that's what I want to offer to new teachers. Just be yourself.
Mm. When you're not yourself, I think you can do it for a while,
right?
But I don't think it can last.
Yeah, it's
exhausting.
Yeah,
I want to go back to that statement earlier I made, being an imposter. I'm not saying that you are an imposter on your jobs, guys, as you listen to this, but we can feel that way because we go, I should know this. Why should you know it if you've never done it before?
We had this new teacher this year who I just, it was amazing to watch her grow. Mm. And I think that that's the joy of mentoring, is watching your mentee like grow and change. And at the beginning of the year, she was feeling very overwhelmed, as she should, because it's an overwhelming job. This is a second career for her as well. So she was older, and she was just swimming. She was just trying to stay afloat. And then as the year went on, she would come and she would talk to me and her actual mentor. And I would say, oh my gosh, she's asking all of the right questions. Like, she got it. Mm. Like, you can't lay everything out that she needs to know as a teacher in the first of the year. And so as she would come, she'd be like, now wait, now I see what you mean. And I would be like, yes, like you're asking the right question. So I could tell she was ready for the next level of how to do that part. I think that's what's so fun about it, is seeing that evolution and that change and that growth happen in adults, just like I watch it in my students every year. So
speak to somebody who's listening. They have a job. Maybe they've been doing their job for several years. How could they on the job be looking out for somebody to come alongside and mentor them? What would you say to that person?
They're probably already the people who are probably asking you questions. And they might be a little nervous about it. Or they might come up to you and they'd be like, hey, can I ask you this question? I think about my son. He just started.
I was just thinking about Samuel.
He just started his first full-time job, and he is learning. He's learning all the time because it's a brand new job. And he was talking to me about how in his previous job, he had this older woman he worked with, and she was his, we refer to her affectionately as his work mom, and because she just mommed him. And he was like, I really feel drawn to this other lady at my job now because she reminds me of that lady. And she's so nice. When I ask her questions, she's always like kind in the way she responds to me. And I feel like people are desperately wanting someone to help them along, but they don't always know how to ask. So I would say look for people who are already asking you things. It doesn't even have to be a major thing, just getting to know where they are. Yeah, I don't know.
And personality plays into that as well.
Of course.
Right. And so there could be someone who really needs your help, your support, your mentoring, but maybe they're timid about asking for help.
Right.
But so, yeah, I love what you said. Pay attention to that. When I was in college, I worked for a paint company called Sherwin-Williams. I go in there as a 20-year-old. I knew nothing about the products. But I thought, well, I have to sell this stuff, so I want to learn. So I would ask the older assistant manager all kinds of questions. It drove him nuts. One day he said, Chris.
So he was not a good mentor.
No, he wasn't. Now, I'm not being critical, but
right.
I go, I needed to learn.
Yeah.
And I wanted to. But I was expressive, and I said, what about this product? Why would I recommend this over that? He goes, Chris, quit asking so many questions. Just do the job. Well, that didn't sit well with me.
Right.
Guess what? He wasn't my mentor.
Yeah. Because we take a holistic approach, that we're professional and educational, mental, spiritual, relational. When you're professionally mentoring somebody, do personal things come up?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've become friends. I've become friends with a lot of the ladies I've mentored and cried with them, prayed with them, went to baby showers, went to weddings, and just went in and I know I make it sound so heavy, but it just is. Like we're, you know, you have a hard day with your students and you just need to cry. And like, that's okay. Like, so I just sit in a room with someone while they're crying and they're having their moment. Because guess what? Tomorrow it might be me.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that is where that really has just gone to a deeper level. We're not just teachers together. We're friends. And they know that they can come to me and I can come to them as well. So
how has your workplace experience been affected by having had that mentor and by mentoring others?
I have really, this is the toot and horn thing that I don't like.
Toot, girl, toot.
I have become a leader in my building and I just find it to be a privilege that I get to encourage and be a cheerleader in ways that I didn't even anticipate necessarily. I knew I wanted to teach, but I really feel like teaching teachers is something that I didn't anticipate being one of the things I would really enjoy so much. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I love my students, but it's also just fun to have teacher friends and be able to, I mean, nobody understands, and just no matter what your profession is, nobody understands it as well as the people who do it with you every day.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Anything else, Chris?
No, this is great.
Well, I love so many things that you spoke about. I don't get the impression that when Shannon Irwin pulls into the driveway of her school, she puts her time card in and can't wait to click it to go out, that because of your investment and how you've been invested in, there's an investment there and Absolutely. The workplace, and you've gotten to know the people and people feel like there's open doors with you, and it just makes working so much better when you're giving your life away and have been poured into. So
I know probably many people would not see it this way, but we all have to, for the most part, we all have to work at jobs, right, to earn a living. And we can look at it two ways. It's just a job, or I can go, it is a job to earn a living, but it requires and it enables me to be around people, and therefore I have the potential to have some good relationships mm-hmm. that could impact me and I could impact them. Or it's just merely a job where I collect a paycheck. I choose the one with relationships.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, thanks for your insight, Shannon. We are always looking for ways that we can give you, the listener, tools. And I hope that today you learned some things about what it would mean to be a mentor on the workplace. So as always, we're so grateful that you've chosen to listen. If you want more information about Fahrenheit, just look at our website at fahrenheitmentoring.org. Like and subscribe and share this podcast. Share it with somebody who's a teacher. We would challenge you to do that. So as always, thank you so much for listening.